You have your Bibles with you. We're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you don't have a Bible with you, well, you just listen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you have a Bible with you, we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll be commencing a reading at verse 1 and reading down to verse 11. Second Corinthians chapter 5, and the first 1 to verse 11, let us hear God's word. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 11, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word for his own name's sake. Taking our Bibles, opening them at the passage that we read earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. With God's word open before us at that passage. Again, let us bow briefly, seeking God's face, asking for that help that he alone does give, stilling our hearts in his presence. Asking for that help even now. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask of thee that you'll help us even now in this our time of need. We thank thee that we come the blood-sprinkled way. We thank thee for that way of access into the holiest of holies made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. We ask of thee now that you'll cleanse us afresh in that precious blood. We ask of thee that you'll speak to sinner and saint alike. We ask of thee that you'll help in this meeting in its entirety, for the hush of eternity, to shut out the world, the clamour of it. We stand by faith under the victory of the cross. Lord, what we have received, we long that others would receive also. Help in everything that is said and done now. Hide us behind the cross, that none would be seen but Jesus Christ. Fill me now full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Give me that unction that only thou can give. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things, and for thy glory alone. For it's in his ever worthy name we ask it. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What heaven is, in the eye and hope of a believer, the true child of God, he looks upon it as a house or habitation, a dwelling place, a resting place, a hiding place, our Father's house where there are many mansions and our everlasting home. It is a house in the heavens, in that high and holy place, which far excels the buildings of this earth, and is of no comparison whatsoever. For it is a building of God, whose builder and maker is God, and is worthy of its author. You see, the happiness of the future state of what God has prepared for those that love him, well, it is a place where godly relatives and the saints of old dwell forevermore. Those who have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. It is expected that this happiness shall be immediately enjoyed after death, as soon as our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved. The body is but an earthly house. It is but a tabernacle. You take, for instance, a tent. We were talking about perhaps maybe going camping. You set up a tent. No sooner is that tent set up than it's taken down again. And so this is the description of the body here. It is but a tabernacle. No sooner is it raised up than it's taken down again. And so the nails or the pins will be drawn and the cords be loosed, and the body will return to the dust as it was. And when this comes to pass, then comes the house not made with hands. The soul will return to God who gave it. And such as have walked with God here shall dwell with God forever. And as it said in Revelation chapter 5, they will sing of him who redeemed them by his blood. And so such as have walked with God here shall dwell with God forever. But this is not so for the unsaved. This is not so for you who are outside of Jesus Christ, because what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? And where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Oh, friend, the place in which you're heading is not a place of rest, but rather unrest. It is a place of misery and torments. It is a place of endless punishment into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It is a fire that cannot be put out. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This place, it is a place of outer darkness, where there is no ray of light and no hope of it. No, not even a glimmer. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of great sorrow, where there is constant, continual and eternal weeping. Your companions will be that of Judas Iscariot. Better, well, as the Bible records, good were it for that man if he had never been born. Better had it if his earthly house of this tabernacle had never been raised up. Better had it that he had never been born and came into existence. You know what it says of those who have heard the gospel and reject it? It says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Do you know what that means? It means better you had never heard the gospel than to reject it and fall headlong into a Christless eternity. That's how serious these matters are. And so with God's help and the time afforded unto us, I want us to briefly look at two men. Two earthly houses that were raised up, two earthly houses that were taken down. And so, as a way of a title, one man to heaven, one man to hell. One man to heaven, one man to hell. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. A well-known portion of Scripture. We have here the account of one man that went to heaven, one man went to hell, two men, two earthly houses that were raised up, two earthly houses that were taken down, yet the two men went their separate ways. They went their separate ways. Luke 16. Luke 16, verse 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. And we read the following. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And they cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And they said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We have an account here. An account of two men. Two earthly houses that were raised up. Two earthly houses that were raised down. One man went to heaven and one man went to hell. You see, the earthly tabernacle, this house, is but a tabernacle. No sooner is it raised up than it's taken down again. We read in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Both men died. Both went their separate ways. Listen, a time to be born and a time to die, as it was appointed by divine counsel, your birth, so is your death, as it states in Hebrews 9:27. You don't have to turn to it for time's sake. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. This is a matter of comfort to the godly. It's a matter of comfort to the godly, for that they shall die well and die but once. But it is a matter of terror to the wicked, to the ungodly, to the one that is outside of Jesus Christ, who die in their sins. You see, the body is temporal. The life in which you're now living is but for a moment. No matter what age you are, your life is but for a moment. What does James say? He says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Perhaps in a cold morning, you've breathed out from your mouth. In a cold winter morning, and well, what we call cold in Northern Ireland isn't what you would call cold here. But when you breathe out of your mouth, there appears a vapor. Or maybe when you go, or you've seen someone boil the kettle to make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and there appears a vapor from its spout. That is, from the kettle's spout, there appears a vapor and then it vanishes away. Well, that's what God describes each and every one of our lives as: a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Bible also states and shows in the sense of grass. All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. No sooner is it raised up than it's mowed down again. And so all flesh is grass. And the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It doesn't say some flesh. No, it says all flesh. And so we are dying men. We are dying men. The body is temporal. Death is the common lot of the poor and of the rich. Death is the common lot of the godly, the ungodly. The saved, the unsaved. The just, the unjust. Saints die that they may bring their sorrows to an end and enter into an house which is made with not made with hands, eternal, in the heavens. This man Lazarus, yes, he was poor. He was poor. We find him, he suffered much. He's found begging for bread in the sense that the rich man's gate. Yet he knew the bread of life. He knew the bread of life. He's homeless. He's at the rich man's gate. He doesn't have much in the way of earthly possessions. Oh yes, but he had a home in heaven whose builder and maker is God. And so the Christian can take comfort though the trials and tribulations come. Perhaps Lazarus was put there for his faithfulness to Christ. We can't be dogmatic about it. Perhaps he's there for the faithfulness to Christ in witnessing to others. He's full of sores. He doesn't have much. Well, the Christian can take comfort. For though the trials and tribulations come, as recorded in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yet the other man, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin. He enjoyed the pleasures of sin. And don't misunderstand me. A man can be blessed with earthly possessions and still be a child of God. But this man was not rich toward God. He was rich in earthly possessions, and that's what his heart was set on. The things which he could see, the things which he could feel. He fared sumptuously every day. He was rich in terms of earthly possessions, yet his heart was set on that which he could see, that which he could feel. He cared not for the man at his gate. No, he didn't. He wouldn't have anything to do with him. You don't read of him speaking to the rich man at his gate. He didn't want anything to do with him. You don't read of him bringing him in and caring for him in those terms. No. He cared not for the man at his gate, rather for himself. He sought to get as much satisfaction out of this life as he could. And let me tell you something, friend. If your intentions are to carry on sinning and rejecting the only way of salvation, you better make the most of it. Because though sin is pleasurable, it is only for a season. It is only for a season. For the pleasures of sin are only for a season. You see, as I said already, don't misunderstand me. Man can be blessed with material things. This man was rich, but not rich toward God. And as the Bible states in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Friend, better is a little with Christ than great revenues without Christ. Better, friend, to be a pauper in the street than to have all the earthly possessions this world has to offer and not having Christ. What does the Bible say? It says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. It will profit him absolutely nothing because you were born into this world naked. You'll leave this world naked. And so better is a little with Christ than great revenues without Christ. We've looked briefly at, in the sense that the body is temporal in that sense, but yet the soul is eternal. The soul is eternal. Look at verse 22 and to verse 23 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." We find that the soul of Lazarus now dwells in heaven. He's in heaven. For he was carried into Abraham's bosom by the ministering angels. Note in passing, he's alongside the one, that mighty man of faith, Abraham. He's beside him, the one who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He's in heaven, singing among the redeemed. Worthy is the Lamb of God which was slain. And so sings among those who were redeemed by his blood, by his precious blood. But the rich man, he's certainly not in heaven. He's not in heaven. Verse 23, and in hell. And in hell. He lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Friend, his soul is in an awful state. He sees the one that was on earth, that was at his gate continually, he now sees him in heaven. He sees him in eternal bliss. He sees the one he despised and ignored on earth. He's reminded of the one who often warned him of such a place, because one of his requests in hell was in verse 27, part B. This was one of the rich man's requests concerning Lazarus, that man that he despised when he was on earth. This is one of his requests. Verse 27, part B. "That thou wouldest send him," that is Lazarus, "that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." You know what that word testify means? It means preach. And therefore, how could the rich man make such a request if he never heard Lazarus preach? And I have no doubt that that man of God was at the rich man's gate preaching to him to flee from wrath to come. To flee to Christ, the only way of salvation. Rich man, flee from wrath to come. Get to Christ. Embrace him. Embrace him as he's freely offered. Flee to Christ. Flee to him. Escape for thy life. And yet such privileges he forsook. For God's man was at his gate. God's man was at his gate. And friends, such privileges you've had. A godly relation. Perhaps a grandmother. Perhaps an aunt. Perhaps an uncle. Perhaps a father. Perhaps a mother. A praying mother. A pleading father. A preaching brother. Cradled in the gospel. And you still remain unconverted. Meeting after meeting. Sermon after sermon. You've been cradled in the gospel. And yet you still remain unconverted. I want to share something with you. This is how serious it is to bring it home to you. I had a friend and he was on his deathbed. And you could notice that the earthly tabernacle was beginning to sway. He didn't have long to be here. It was clearly evident that death was soon to come. And he wasn't going to be here much longer. And so I called round to him to give him some literature. To give him some gospel literature and asked him, was he able to come in and speak about the things of God? He refused. I said, he wanted to be on his own. I asked him, could I leave the literature with him? That he would read the literature. Said he didn't want to hear the gospel. 2 weeks later, that man was ushered out into God's eternity. At his relation's home, and at his request, they carried the coffin out, and the music that was played at his funeral was Frank Sinatra, "I Did It My Way." I did it my way. I tell you, friend, if you do it your way, it will be the wrong way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's a way of salvation, friend. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself a flesh like ours, an earthly house, an earthly tabernacle like ours, yet without sin, because he couldn't sin. Because he was God manifest in the flesh. And there's a man named Lazarus who is in heaven with him now. Because that's where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Because he did that which we couldn't. He fulfilled the law. He rendered perfect obedience to it. He underwent the miseries of this life, the wrath of God, and the cursed death of the cross. He rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of God, where he intercedes for and reigns over all things in behalf of his people, and he's coming again to judge the world at the last day. And therefore, there is one to whom you can flee. He paid the price. Christ suffered the just for the unjust, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ became man in order to save men. No matter what age you are, friend, perhaps you say I'm young. Perhaps you listen to the devil's message, I'll get saved when I'm older. I'll put it off, as if it's up to you. Felix trembled. He said, I will call for thee in a more convenient season. He was saying, I'll put it off. I'll leave it for another time. But you never read that Felix ever called upon God. What does the Bible say? For whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Therefore, you must come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him, his person, his work. The one who was rich. The one who was rich became poor for our sakes. The one who was full of sores. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ is the only way of salvation. And therefore, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, the question answers itself. We won't escape. We won't escape. Rich man testifies of that. He despised and rejected. And now he's suffering it and paying for it in a lost eternity. Therefore, come to Christ. Come to him this very moment. Behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little man, for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. Or hell, to be without Christ forever. One man went to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. And one man went to hell and is suffering the consequences of dying without Christ. Therefore, flee from wrath to come. Flee to the Christ of God, for whomsoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us bow reverently before the Lord, conscious that we're still in his presence. Lord, our heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has been of thyself. We pray that all that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. Take that which has been of thyself. Bless thy word for the glory of thy precious name, for the building of thy church, for the edifying of the saints. Impart us with thy blessing and with thy favour, for it's in Christ's precious name and for thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen.